section. You have been a project in the book of Acts that even far better because you are well prepared. So maybe you can get more insight about the book of Acts. So I would like to ask another question. The first question is, the whole book of Acts can be summed up in one verse. Which verse? The whole book of Acts can be summed up into one verse, and this verse is talking about the main theme of the book of Acts. Chapter 1, verse 8. Yeah. Okay. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, then you will have the power, and you will witness from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, until the end. Okay. So, the last verse, the last chapter, chapter 28, is the end, which means the gospel was introduced to Rome. And chapter 2 is the preaching of gospel in Jerusalem. If we try to separate the book of Acts by a spiritual figure, how should we separate? The book of Acts can be separated into two parts according to the worker of God. How? Yes, Peter and Paul, okay? And how should we draw a line? From chapter 1 to which chapter is the ministry of Peter? Don't go with the Bible. You are prepared already. From chapter 1 to which chapter is Peter? 12, yes. From chapter 13 to last chapter is the Apostle Paul. So Acts of the Apostle is a continuation of the book of Luke. It records spent a period of 30 years from the ascension of Jesus to the captivity of Paul in Rome. It records how the Apostle waited in Jerusalem for the promise of God, the Holy Spirit, how they were led by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The main theme of the first 12 chapter is the Apostle Peter and the church in Jerusalem, because Apostle Peter was called the Apostle of the Jews, and the Apostle Paul was called the Apostle of the Gentile. And after the death of Stephen, persecution of church become more severe. Paul was one of the leaders who persecuted the church, and after his conversion, he was renamed Paul. Saul was renamed Paul, and he devoted himself to preaching the gospel. Antioch, a city of the Gentiles, and became the center of his ministry. It was in Antioch that the believer were first called Christian. Chapter 13 to 28 recorded the three missionary trips of Paul. So outline of the book. Roman character 1. From chapter 1 to chapter 12, development of the church in Palestine by Apostle Peter. And in this section, it can be divided into another three sections. From chapter 1 to chapter 5, the establishment of the church. And from chapter 6 to chapter 9, the church spread the Gentile under the persecution. From chapter 9, 32 to chapter 12, 24, the Acts of Peter, beginning of the ministry to the Gentile. Okay. And chapter 13 to 28, Apostle Paul spread the church from Antioch to Rome. The content of the book. Now we start to go to the book. The last chapter of Luke 24. The book of Luke was written by the same person. The book of Luke and the book of Acts was written by the same person. Luke. The last book, last chapter of the book of Luke mentioned that the Jesus' ascension. And then if we come back to the Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses is talking about Jesus' ascension. Verse 10, where they are gazing in the sky, and two white men wearing white garment, and Jesus was lifted up. Okay, now we look into the teaching material, page 10. The 40 days before Jesus' ascension is to prepare the establishment of the church, the importance of the resurrection. Why Jesus had to spend 40 days after his resurrection, before his ascension? Why? Why did Jesus have to spend 40 days? That's the question we have to ponder. Jesus Christ appeared to the apostles to strengthen their faith. Because even after his resurrection, many disciples were unbelief, were in unbelief. Not until Jesus appeared to them, and together with them, and they start to believe. Shall we turn to Mark chapter 16? Verse 14. While the disciple was gathering, and Jesus appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief. Because they don't believe those who witness his resurrection. So after Jesus' resurrection, a lot of people still disbelieve. Jesus had to spend 40 days to strengthen their faith. Because most of the apostles are going to become the Peter of the church. So Jesus interpreted the Bible and showed the scars of nail. Whom did Jesus show the scar of the nail? Thomas, right? He was unbelief, disbelief. And Jesus showed the scar and asked, tell Thomas, use your finger to touch the scar and to see whether this is true. And Thomas cried out. What did Thomas say? My Lord, my God, right? And that moment, he believed. So Jesus showed the nail to prove his resurrection. And 153 fish in the John chapter 21, verse 12. And they caught 153 fish. So after this incident, they all believed Jesus Christ. Let's see John chapter 21. 21 verse 6, Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side, and they caught 153 fishes. Even though the fish was many, but the net was not broken. And verse 12, all the disciples, no one dared to ask him, who is he? Because they know it is the Lord. So Jesus used many different ways to show the disciple he was resurrected and he was still alive, and to strengthen the apostles' faith. In Luke chapter 24, talking about the two disciples went to Emmaus, and Jesus came to accompany them and to talk with them. And eventually, God opened their eyes, and they saw the one who walked with them is the resurrected Jesus. And they recalled the experience while Jesus was walking with them. Their heart was burning when Jesus talked to them. So in that same day evening, the two disciples returned to Jerusalem because they witnessed Jesus Christ walk with them. The second important task is to entrust the mission. Mark chapter 16. We don't have to turn on this. These two verses are very familiar. What are the two important missions entrusted by Jesus to his disciples? The Great Commission entrusted by Jesus to his disciples. That is one of them. How about the second one? Okay. The first one now is to preach the gospel all over the world. And the second is to feed the lamb. So the first one is to increase the quantity. And the second one is to improve the quality. You have to take care of my sheep, the pastoring work. So Jesus entrusts the apostles these two holy work. So in the church, there are many different kind of holy work. Which kind of holy work is the most important one? All of them, yes, all of them are related, but the most important one is preaching the gospel and pastoring the sheep. And all the other work is in support, directly or indirectly, about this work. For example, we come here to have NYTS, right? You can see the sister working very hard in the kitchen. But their work is in support of you here. You here is the pastoring work. You still receive the training so your spirituality can improve, your quality can improve. So they are in support of the pastoring work. One day we have evangelical service. We have to mobilize a lot of youth. Some pick up the truth seeker, some set up the chapel, and some prepare the snake. And all these kind of work are very important, but it's in support of the evangelical work. Just like in Southern California, we are going to have a district evangelical service in October tonight. We try to mobilize everybody. There are four churches there. We try to evangelize in whole Southern California. So you see a lot of people have to engage in different kind of work, art work, transportation, and entertain the truth seeker, different work. But all of them are in support of evangelical work. Okay. So the entrustment of Jesus' mission, two important missions. If the church, every church member have very good spiritual quality, but no truth seeker, it's good, but it's not too good, you know. Everybody look all the same. But on the other hand, if next year 30 people baptized in the TJC, increase a lot of quantity. But when they come to the church, They're talking about watery stuff. They're talking about movie. They're talking about stock. They're talking about politics. In the dinner, in the lunchtime, they talk all this kind of stuff. How do you feel? I come to the church to enjoy the rest from the world. And you come to the church still being enveloped by worldly matters. You feel the quality is not high enough. Spiritual quality is not high enough. So both sides should go hand by hand. Increase the quantity, improve the quality, the pastoring work. So this is the two commission. See, descent of the great authority. The descent of the Holy Spirit. Because this is a power from above. It is a power to forgive, and it is a power to retain the sin. Now John chapter 20. Verse 23. Jesus broke a bread to them and said, "You receive Holy Spirit." This is a promise. You will receive Holy Spirit. 23. If you forget anybody, anybody's sin can be forgiven. If you retain anybody, anybody's sin can be retained. It's easy to understand the first part, to forgive the sin through the water baptism. And how come if you retain anybody's sin, the sin will be retained? What does that mean? What does that mean? Huh? If you don't forgive? Any other? I think it's referring to excommunication. The church was given an authority by God. So if the church decide according to God's will, not according to majority. It may be the same, but it may be the different. If the church really lead by the Holy Spirit and make a decision, that decision means something, carries the weight. For example, Ananias, the incident of Ananias. That time Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit. Immediately Ananias collapsed. And later on, Ananias' wife came. The wife collapsed too. But because God gave authority to the church to judge, not only to forgive the sins. Only by doing so, we can keep the church clean, holy. So the excommunication of the church, if we do it according to God's guidance, is effective. Once the name been taken out from the church, the name will be taken out in heaven. Because God gave the church this authority. Of course, the church has to do it under the close guidance of the Holy Spirit. Pray that. D. Give us a living hope. Jesus ascended to heaven, and he already mentioned he is going to come back. One day you are going to see the second coming of Jesus with your naked eye. Very possible you will see it. In last week or in this month, did you see there was a peace talk between the Israel and the Palestine, right? What is the crucial issue they cannot resolve? Jerusalem. Yeah, that is a crucial issue. The Israelites will never make any concession about Jerusalem. Because if you turn back to the Bible, Jerusalem is a place they build the temple. Solomon built the temple. And Jerusalem become the heart of their religious belief. And Palestine want to retain part of Jerusalem too, because there's a very big Muslim mosque. They want to rebuild their capital in Jerusalem. So Israel don't want to make that concession, and Palestine insist on this is the condition, we will make peace with you. So according to the prophecy of the Bible, eventually the war will erupt because of the problem in Israel. A lot of people look into the situation in Taiwan. Don't worry. The third world war will not come because of Taiwan, because the Bible never mentioned about Taiwan. Never. When you see that American make a decision, what is the first priority they consider? Democracy? Is that right? No. American interest. American interest. Why Americans send a soldier to attack Iraq? Because oil was blocked. That affect American interest. Why not Americans send a soldier to Africa, Nigeria, or that country? You know, there are no American interests there. The same thing. In United States, most of the economical power was under the control of Jewish people. Wall Street, you see, all behind the Wall Street is 70% controlled by Jewish people. So they are very influential. So all the president, they have to come agree with the Jewish people because they are in control, in behind. So the only reason will drag United States into the Third World War is because of the Middle East problem. So that is the indication. So right now, Israel allowed the Arafat to come back and build a country. It's just like two strings, just entangled even tighter than before. Previously, they refused it under the tight control. Right now, they accept it back. So the enemy just entangled together. Once erupt, it's difficult to control. If you look into the book of Revelation, right now, it offers small Satan is working. Before Jesus' second coming, the big Satan, the head of the Satan, is going to be released. Then it will be different. So small Satan is working. There is a civil war. There is a this and that. Because small Satan. So a lot of political leaders can make peace among the world and receive the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize. In the last day, when the big Satan release, everything will be different, chaotic. Okay. So the second coming of Jesus Christ is at hand, very near, very near. But when, we don't know. Do you know? You heard a lot of people mention about the vision they saw, right? They will say a picture of the war, and then they saw a figure, 199, and that figure burn, and the fire come. Some people just explain, right? 199, it must be 1999, and the world will be destroyed. But right now it's 2000 already. The world is still here. So we have to examine the vision from the words of God. Any vision without the support of the words of God, you should be very cautious. But we know it's very close. It's very close. Very close. So he is going to come back. Okay. Give us a living hope. Now we are going to study chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. The descending of the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, chapter 1, verse 5, John baptized you with the water, but not long, many days later, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. According to the four Gospels and the Acts, how many baptisms we have to receive? How many baptisms did the Bible mention? Two. Three. Two. Jesus mentioned baptism of water and the baptism of Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire. Another mention in the four Gospels, we don't have the time now. Baptism of fire. What that means? Tribulation, persecution. So the member have to go through the baptism of fire. And this is the second baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So Jesus give them an instruction. You will receive Holy Spirit, you will preach the gospel, you will be baptized by Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God will be established. And then Jesus went up. And what did the apostle do? Start from chapter 1, verse 12. The 120 people, this become the core member, a core.
Core member of the apostolic church.
In chapter 2, 3,000 people were baptized. All because of the core member, 120 people, they really pray very fervently. So their prayer lead into God's blessing and establish a church for the members of 3,000 people. So this is served as a role model. Because the book of Acts is a blueprint. If you want to build a house, you have to ask the architecture to design a blueprint. You follow the blueprint to build up your house. Right now, what should we build our True Jesus Church? Well, we build our True Church according to the blueprint of the book of Acts. How did they build the apostolic church? Exactly should be the way. How do we build our True Church? If you see the chapter 1 and chapter 2, you can see a little, only you almost cannot see any planning. We are not saying planning is not good, but sometimes the God's guidance play more important role than the human planning. You plan a lot, but without God's guidance, that planning is only a paper. And they did not plan, but they pray a lot. And God guide them according to God's will to establish the true church. So this is give us an indication in the church, spatially, how to break through the bottleneck of the evangelical work, how to break through the bottleneck of pastoring work. God's guidance is more important than planning. Of course, planning is good, it's necessary. The 120 people is praying. So if you go back to the local church, you find out your local church needs some kind of spiritual revival. What should you do? What should you do? I know some of the members, some use a negative way, some use a positive way. Many people use different way. If you feel that your local church needs some kind of spiritual revival, the best way is invite some of the members and pray together. When you start to really kneel down and pray, care God's business and start to pray, you will see God's work, because you are in the Acts chapter 1. You are going to see Acts chapter 2 going to happen. But if you only went talk, everybody let us talk about church problem. And after we talk, we feel hopeless, TJC hopeless. We preached for 80 years, only how many members? Well, how can we reach to all over the world? It's hopeless. There's no use at all. Take some action. What is action? Pray. We pray together, God is going to work. And if you see the 120 people composed of three kinds of people. The first people is chapter 13, verse 13. Peter, James, and John. You look into the names, actually talking about the 12 apostles. The apostle is the one who carries the title and the responsibility accompanying the title. So who should pray in the church? Those who have the title. The pastors, the deacons, the elders, they must lead the prayer in the church. Or the board members, or the RE coordinator, the IE teachers, they must all join together to pray. Because your title is an indication of your responsibility. And you see the responsibility is so great. Without God's help, how can you fulfill the responsibility? So if a person carries the title and don't want to pray, that's only to say, he don't care, or he is God himself. I don't have to pray. I'm God. I can do whatever I want. I can achieve. Other than that, you have to pray. So, in the church, carry a title is a blessing, because God like you. But carry a title is a burden. It's a responsibility. So the 12 apostles, they pray. The second type of people is just for verse 14, and together with a few women. You understand? One of them is the Mary of Magdalene. Those who receive the grace of God, those who want to repay the grace of God, those who feel the love of God, they join together, try to carry out God's commission. So in the church, who should pray? Anyone who loves God. Anyone who cares about God's business. Anyone who likes to see the church prosperity. You should pray. The love of God will motivate you. Then you pray. This is the second type of people. The third type of people is the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary. Mary knows Jesus more than anybody else because she knows the baby inside is not come from marriage. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Angel talked to him and she started to become pregnant. She knows this one is God himself. So he was very envy, looking forward to serve God, and he joined the prayer. So in the church, who should pray? You really envy about God's work. I really feel working for God is very noble, it's very precious. Then you have to join the prayer. So these three kind of people gather together to become the core members of Apostolic Church, and they start to pray. Later on, in chapter 2, the Holy Work start to develop. They pray about 10 days. Right now, NYTS, you pray about 2 weeks. You can see the result if you pray as hard as they do. You are going to see the spiritual revival in you and in your church. Okay. And start from verse 15. Verse 15 to verse 21. So verse 15 and verse 21 is talking about how to succeed, choose a people to succeed. Judas as apostle. I don't know whether you have heard about that the church development, we need three kind of power. In order to make the church grow, we need three kind of power. Have you heard about this? Huh? Never? I think so. One is what? God's power. The second is manpower. The third is financial power. Have you heard about this? Three kind of power is necessary for church growth. But if we come back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, first talking about God's power, the second talking about manpower. In the whole book, you can never see the church care about financial power. Where comes the financial power? When God starts to work in everybody's heart, in chapter 2, they contribute everything to the church. When the love of God fills upon their heart, they sow everything and bring all their property to the church. So in the church, what we should care about the most is not the financial power. No, it's God's power. If God works mightily, powerfully in the church, everybody receives the grace of God. Everybody feels the love of God. They are going to pay God's love in return. So they are waiting to bring out the money. So in our church, you see offering box is there. And always, the collection of offering is sufficient to support the church. Why? Because the member receives the grace of God. They know how to repay the grace of God, and they contribute the money. Now, so we don't have to worry about the money in the church. So in the TJC history, there never has one holy work cannot accomplish because of lacking financial support. No, you can never find this example. No. So you plan a holy work. The first thing you have to care is, first, if this is God's will. The second thing you have to care is whether God is working with us. That's all. Now, if this is God's will, and you make sure God is working with us, manpower is coming, financial power is coming. So the fundamental concern is God's power. So, Acts chapter 1, start from prayer, and everything is coming together and to build up the church. And the 15 to the end, talking about how to choose the apostle. Now, and they give a criteria, verse 21 and 22. So they must choose a one who together with them ever since from the time that Jesus was with them. This is the criteria. They must be the one who witnessed Jesus and together with Jesus. And after they give the criteria, who make a decision? Who make the decision? Verse 23, who make a decision? Who make a decision? Almost all the apostles, they make decision together, right? So they choose two persons which fulfill this requirement. And among these two persons, they could not make a decision which one. So verse 24 and 25, then they pray to God and they cast a lot. And finally they choose another one. I think this can give us some hint. The first one is the apostles. At that time, they did not have Holy Spirit. So when they want to make a decision, they have to cast a lot. Today, we do not do so. Let us pray and then we cast a lot. That's not very right. Because the Holy Spirit was moving in everybody. At that time, Holy Spirit not come yet. Holy Spirit come in chapter 2. So before Holy Spirit came, they cast a lot. After Holy Spirit come, they never cast a lot. Because Holy Spirit will move in everybody's heart. According to the move of the Holy Spirit, and we decided. That is the way the book of Acts was doing God's business. And when they pray to God, in verse 24, why do they pray to God? After they choose two people who fulfill the requirement, why do they pray to God? Verse 25, can you see what is the reason? Verse 25, what is the reason they pray to God? Outwardly, they choose two persons exactly to fulfill the requirement. But right now, serving God, heart is very important. Who can know anybody's heart? Nobody. Only God can know people's heart. So they pray to God. Now, you know everybody's heart right now. Please guide us to choose a correct one. So this is to tell us, serving God, yes, the outer condition is very important. You believe for 3 years, you fulfill the training of RE, you have this and that criteria. But eventually, this decisive factor is your heart. What kind of heart? The heart of Jesus Christ. That is the criteria to serve Jesus Christ. What is the heart of Jesus Christ? Humble to serve. That is one of the heart. And humble to be submissive. And humble to glorify God's name. And humble to rely on God's power. And only consider we ourselves only an instrument, nothing more. That kind of mentality, that kind of heart is the most crucial part to serve God. So this is chapter 1. We're going to complete here this afternoon. And this evening we are going to continue to study. if you have time, study the book of Acts thoroughly. Let's pray, Sally.